It's time for Football Friday with Bill Savage, presented by Boyd's Royal Night on Government Boulevard in Mobile, featuring $8 weekday lunch specials, analysis and insights, the winners, the losers. Get ready for the weekend with Football Friday on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 8:07, FM Talk 106.5. It is finally here. We have arrived at the time of year we all look forward to. Dalton said it seemed like 2 years wrapped up in 6 months, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I've been waiting for this day for a long time to talk to Phil Savage, one of my favorite parts of the week.
Absolutely. The general manager of the Alliance Phoenix team, and of course, buddy of FM Talk 106.5, and a man who is taking time while driving back home from Atlanta to talk with us about this big weekend slate of college football games. Phil, how the heck are you?
I'm good, guys. Great to join you for our first Football Friday of the season.
Yeah, well, this is what I mean. So many people, even casual fans, for probably the last month, have been really chomping at the bit for getting ready. And we've got a great slate of college football games tomorrow that you're going to walk us through, right?
I'm going to try to take you through as many of them as we can. Of course, last night I finished up with the Dolphins and the Falcons. That was the fourth preseason game, and that's where the bulk of my attention has been here in August in terms of looking at players that potentially will roll off into the Alliance of American Football when we get started in the spring.
Yeah, and Phil, if you don't mind for a second, kind of explain to everyone your new gig, the GM of that the Phoenix team that'll be in the Alliance of American Football, a new league that gets started this next February.
Yeah, Dalton, it's definitely been a summer of transition in the Savage household, but yeah, I'm the GM of this Phoenix team, and there's eight clubs, really from San Diego all the way across to Orlando. They've got some terrific people involved. Charlie Ebersol and Bill Polian are the co-founders. Of course, Bill Polian of Hall of Fame general manager fame. And so we've had three combines the last four weekends in L.A., Houston, and Atlanta. 1,000 players. And ultimately, that's a pool of talent that we've been trying to evaluate in conjunction with an allocation formula that they developed in terms of trying to regionalize some of the leagues. So in other words, like players that come out of Alabama, Auburn, Troy, they will allocate to the Birmingham franchise. And then kids that come from schools that are not allocated, they will then go through their pro team. So each of the eight Alliance clubs has four NFL teams that they basically are signed to. So the players like from an Ohio State or Notre Dame, where there's no regional or geographical attachment to an Alliance team, they will then allocate to us through their pro team once they get released. So it's a little bit complicated to explain it on the radio, but mm-hmm. We've got a good handle on it. And, you know, as I told you guys off air before we got started, we've already signed over 40 players.
Wow.
We're trying to fill in the blanks with these guys that will be released here today and tomorrow and really over these next couple of weeks as the NFL rosters settle down in the next 10 to 12 days.
I can't wait to check out the new league, but let's go over some of these games that are coming up over the weekend and start with the one that'll air right here on FM Talk 106.5 tomorrow at 2:30. Pregame starts at 11:30, but number 9-ranked Auburn taking on number 6-ranked Washington in Atlanta, and it'll be Auburn's third game in a row there at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and two really good defenses and two top quarterbacks in the NCAA. Phil, which defense do you think will be better this year, and as a scout, which quarterback do you think shows the best pro ability between the two?
Well, let's start with the second piece of your question. I think clearly Jarrett Stidham from Auburn will be the higher rated pro prospect. Now, that's not to take away from what Jake Browning has accomplished. He's a 4-year starter for Washington, had a very successful career there. But in terms of just the measurables, the arm strength, and the just the rare arm talent that Jarrett Stidham brings to the table, he will definitely be the higher draft pick by the time these guys get to the draft next spring. In terms of the game, this is a hugely important game for Washington and the Pac-12. And the reason for that is the Pac-12, they're coming off a winless bowl season. And quite frankly, Washington and maybe Stanford, perhaps Oregon, those are probably the best three teams on the West Coast going into the season. And the reality is, of it is that if Washington can win this game tomorrow, they will be clear favorites for the remaining 11 games of their season. They almost could punch their ticket to the college football playoff with the win over Auburn tomorrow. If they lose, then to me, the Pac-12 is in jeopardy of being left out of the college football playoff. And, I mean, that's a big-time speculative comment, but I really think that's the importance of this first game for Washington. Now, Auburn, on the other hand, if they win, it would be a huge way to get started for the season. If they lose, they still got plenty of time, and obviously they go on and win the SEC championship, then they would be in the playoffs. So I don't think there's as much riding on the Auburn team as there is, or in this game for Auburn, as there is for Washington.
Should be a great game, and another game that everybody in the state has their eyes on. Louisville taking on number one ranked Alabama. That'll be in Orlando tomorrow night at 7. And you're a guy who knows more about Alabama than just about anyone in the world. But I got to ask you, outside of who starts at quarterback, what part of Alabama's game are you most interested in seeing tomorrow?
Well, I think there's two aspects of the team that haven't really been talked about a lot outside of this quarterback situation. That's number one. 7 new coaches out of 10, 9 out of the 10 in new positions. So you're talking about game plans, you're talking about in-game strategy, the adjustments after the first quarter. That's going to be a work in progress. So these first few games, I think that it's going to take a bit of time to get Nick Saban and his assistant coaches all on the same page. The other aspect of it, it is an entirely new defensive secondary. You know, Bama really lost their top 6 defensive backs. Now, Deontay Thompson did play down the stretch. They've got plenty of talent, but the top 4, 5, 6 defensive backs in their base, their nickel, and their dime packages, they've never been in a game together. And against this Louisville passing game with Juwan Pass as the quarterback, several top-flight receivers, including Jalen Smith, I really expect Louisville to make some plays on Alabama. I don't think they can sustain it for 4 quarters, but I do think that Louisville's got enough skill talent to give Alabama some problems, especially early in the game. But ultimately, Bama's just so far superior in the offensive and defensive line. They'll wear down this Louisville team, and I don't think it'll be, you know, I think it'll be competitive for the first half, but ultimately I think Alabama will win going away. I think they're just too strong within the line.
And I do love Louisville's new quarterback's name, that Puma Pass. That's a great name for a quarterback. But, you know, we have to talk about the quarterback situation on the other side of the field. Yesterday, Nick Saban said both Jalen and Tua have earned the opportunity to play. Do you really think is it possible that Saban could play both players for significant snaps at quarterback this season, or do you think one will officially take the bull by the horns and lead the offense?
Well, Nick Saban historically has been a one quarterback coach. Now, they've had some open competitions in the early parts of the season in previous years. And in this case, I'm expecting Jalen Hurts to trot out there to start the game. He's got the veteran experience. He's got a strong resume. And to be honest, guys, I don't think it really matters who the quarterback is for Alabama in these first 7-8 contests. I think Alabama is that much more talented than their competition. The key question, well, who will be the quarterback when they get to LSU, play Mississippi State, and play Auburn down the stretch in the Iron Bowl? That's where the rubber is going to meet the road for this Alabama team this year. And to me, in my own estimation, Nick Saban tipped off where he's leaning in the SEC media days when he said, look, the quarterback is the distribution center. We need somebody that can spread the ball around. Well, the guy that clearly can do that is Tua Tagovailoa. But I think for tomorrow, you'll see Jalen Hurts and Tua. I'm expecting Hurts to start, but Tua to play a lot. But here, probably over the next 2 to 3 weeks, and before they really get into the meat of their SEC schedule, I really expect Tua to be the primary starter for Alabama.
Oh, interesting. And here at home, South Alabama Jags beginning a new era under head coach Steve Campbell. And they actually have a pretty tough matchup here to start the season against an experienced Conference USA squad in Louisiana Tech. They kick off at 6 p.m. tomorrow night. What do the Jags need to do to have a shot to win this game? And tell us a little bit about what you know about the new coach, Steve Campbell.
Yeah, I tell you, La Tech is a formidable opponent. They've had a good run at it here of late under Skip Holtz, so that'll be a challenging game for USA. But Steve Campbell, of course, comes from Central Arkansas. He's a native of Pensacola. He did a really good job at Central. As a matter of fact, we had a player come to the recent Senior Bowl a couple of years when I went and visited their program over there. So I think Steve has a good handle in terms of the template that he'll try to install at South Alabama and a formula for them to be a consistent winner. But this will be a tough matchup with La Tech tomorrow night.
You know, and as we wrap up here, I was thinking about offering this, but I'm scared with you being a professional, people would not be very happy about this. But we have our College Pick'em Challenge going on here with the FM Talk 106.5 audience. Some of our hosts, some of our guests on the shows are all in the mix here. And we've got another few hours here, actually, till tomorrow morning to get the list closed out. So, I mean, Phil, if you want to get in on the action here, I know I'm going to lose, so I'm okay with having you in the mix.
I don't know. I played fantasy football 1 year, and I'm like, okay, that was fun, but it's not really the real deal. But in terms of picking games, I've had some good choices over the years, and then there's some other ones like, did I really say that on the radio? it's so unpredictable. But I tell you, we talked about Bama and Auburn. Those are big games tomorrow. Keep an eye on LSU and Miami on Sunday night. That is a game that's going to really set the narrative, I think, for the LSU Tigers. And then, of course, a couple of them in the SEC. Texas Tech, Ole Miss, another game that'll set the storyline for the season as it pertains to the Rebels. And then, of course, Tennessee and West Virginia in Charlotte. That's really going to be a difficult matchup for Tennessee, but I think everyone's anxious to see what Jeremy Pruitt rolls out there for his first game.
I know I certainly am. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Phil, and looking forward to talking to you every Friday. And I want to remind everyone, your book, Fourth and Goal Every Day, it's a year old now. So happy birthday to Fourth and Goal Every Day.
And you got a book signing coming up today, don't you?
Yeah, the paperback came out this week on Wednesday, so I'll be over at Page and Pallet in Fairhope. It's one of the top independent bookstores in the country, not only the state of Alabama. So I'll be over there today from 11 to 1 and then jumping on SEC radio over on the satellite version of radio this afternoon, 2 to 5.
All right. Well, we will see you at lunchtime for that book signing, and we'll, of course, be talking to you next week for Football Friday. Phil, drive safely, and we'll see you soon.
Okay, guys, I really appreciate it. Take care of yourself. We'll catch up next Friday.
Will do. Phil Savage checking in. And Football Friday, Phil, general manager of the Alliance Phoenix team and also friend of FM Talk 106.5. And the guy's got more hours watching, playing, and analyzing football than I think, like whole small towns put together.
Mm-hmm. And I was really hoping that he would not join our College Pick'em Challenge because he said that he has some wrong games, but he would probably have a better time picking than I would. So
he's sandbagging us. That's what happens. So, which, by the way, remind folks if they want to get in that College Pick'em Challenge.
Yeah, the link is at the top of our Facebook page, facebook.com/FMTalk1065, or on Twitter at Dalton Orwig. You'll find the link there.
All right, coming right back, it's Mobile Mornings Friday style as we get ready for the first big weekend in college football. Friday 26, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings on this Friday. Lots of football talk and excitement. We get ready for the first weekend of college football for this season, which, by the way, like Dalton said earlier, pregame starts at noon today and runs through... You think they heard me there at the Sports Network? 11:30 tomorrow, pregame, and the kick at 2:30.
I'm sure they'll have
starts Tuesday at 1.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll have plenty to talk about. But that last half hour, will they be twiddling their thumbs or what exactly? It'll be great.
Okay, so I've been doing this long enough that I've worked with radio stations over the years. We had sports, that we and I remember pregame. If I remember correctly, it was like half an hour early on.
Yes.
And then I remember when it went to an hour, we're like, really, an hour of pregame? And now that's like child's play.
Yeah.
I'm expecting them to start telling me, pregame will begin 18 hours before the actual kickoff of the game so we can have all the analysis there. Even
it's
though we
thorough.
Do the analysis all, well, we do that all week. I mean, I guess if you're, on just like a music station or somewhere with it, but I mean, we've been doing the analysis from starting on Monday night with Sports Night the whole way through Saturday morning, Prep Sports Report, and then here comes the game. We've been done doing the analysis. Mm-hmm.
You've been pre-gaming the entire week.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's what the pros do.
But then you get the pregame. So, pregame starting today at 1. That's not accurate. It's tomorrow at 11:30.
It's a different kind of pregame.
That's right.
What we're talking about.
Yeah, there's pregame involving hot dogs
or
and cold
pre-flight,
beer.
Pre-flight. That's what they call it. Yeah,
it's always
on a base somewhere.
Pre-flight?
Yeah, pre-flight before you go out.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, can I use that if I'm a civilian?
Why not?
Okay, I'll adopt that.
Know you're buying the first round.
Okay, that's fine. I can do that. 827 FM Talk 106.5. Heads up, too, if you've got some junk around the house that may be in between you and your television set when it comes time for football tomorrow, maybe the time is now to call my buddy Trey and the crew from 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Got junk outside the house that would prevent the kids from having a full backyard football game? 1-800-GOT-JUNK. You got a storage unit where you're pretty sure you left your last autographed football and your jerseys and all that stuff. You can't find anything in there. Get Trey and the crew to clean it out for you. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. They will make a specific appointment time with you. It drives me crazy. People go, we'll be there sometime between Monday and Friday, between the hours of 8 and 5. You're like, yeah, because I got a job.
And the minute you fall asleep.
Oh, yeah, forget
about
it.
They're like, oh, we rang the doorbell.
Yeah,
nobody
and we ran away. We came up in the room and ran away. Trey and the crew give you the actual time. They'll say, hey, we'll be there Friday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, or whatever it is. You set that appointment time. You all agree on it. They show up. They get the work done. And the price they quote you, that's the price you pay, whether the job turns out to be bigger than they thought it was or not. Check them out online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or just pick up the phone and call them at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, things on our list today. We can talk some more football. If you have any kind of rituals you go through, I've mentioned that before at our house, that there's certain clothing items that that people in my home feel they have to wear, ways they have to do things because they believe that they're pretty much in charge of the fate of the University of Alabama Crimson Tide.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
That if you got to do these things or the Tide will lose. Do you have, for your team, do you have any kind of rituals, things you wear, things you do, things you eat?
Yeah, maybe a certain chip dip you might make every Saturday.
Dalton?
I don't have any particular chip dips I make.
But I mean,
usually
you have rituals.
Oh, yeah, I
but
do.
But you
have
rituals, I know.
Yeah, I do. Well, when my team's playing, I usually drink out of the same glass every Saturday. And then when my Sunday team is playing, I drink out of the glass on Sunday, too.
Different glasses?
So different glasses, because they have...
Do you put them on the same place at the same point of the table?
No, I'm not. I don't go that crazy with it, but I do clean the glass each week. I don't use the same one, but there are several routines that I like to hit every weekend when my teams are playing, and usually starts with Prep Sports Report on Saturday morning, so that I can, pick the minds of Rick Cleveland and Corey LeBounty, Mark Laster, see what they're thinking about the games, and then I make my picks for the day. That's how I do it.
All right,
you know, when I first arrived in town, and they said, well, once you're looking, we know you're looking for a team, right?
Right.
We understand you have choices. So, but if you ever don't want to watch a game, the best time to go grocery shopping is a Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Pick the game day and time. You can run through the mall.
Mm-hmm.
You can just run through your favorite big box store. No lines, no waiting.
Right. It's going to be like one of those, Armageddon movies. Like, what happened to all the people? You're walking through. This is creepy. At 8:30, FM Talk 106.5. We're coming right back. Right, 8:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. On this Friday, glad to have you here. 343-0106, 343-0106. That's the phone line, also the text line, which, by the way, come on now. We got to go back to the rule book here from the text line. Our boat-making friends just pointed out here, the Resmondos, that Christmas stuff was in Cracker Barrel yesterday. This goes back to, when did we have this discussion? We did a little...
About a month and a half ago, I feel like.
We were talking about, because there's some store in London or something that had put up Christmas decorations. But if you remember, they say it's up in Cracker Barrel.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't we say it had to be, and I know that Cracker, okay, because I'm going to say a retail location, they are retailers for food. I get that. I mean, maybe you win on the nuance there,
mm-hmm.
but I was thinking more like stores that are selling
crafts,
like decorative.
Like Hobby Lobby.
You were talking about this. But now, if it's like a full-time Christmas store or something like that, it doesn't
that
count.
That makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Those don't come in. I'm basically looking for the first, you know, you're at the box store, hardware show, anywhere.
Doesn't sell Christmas stuff. Putting Christmas stuff on their walls. Is that what we're looking for?
Yeah.
That they don't specialize in that. That they're just trying to get ahead of the curve.
Yeah, they could sell. In my opinion, they could sell Christmas stuff seasonally.
During the season?
Like decorations. But so we're trying to figure out who will be the first to put it up. In other words, who is going to skip over,
mm-hmm.
you know, Thanksgiving, Halloween, mm-hmm. and when are they first going to, you know, crack the top on the Christmas stuff?
You know, and it gives you shame. Mommy shame, you know, decorating shame. It gives you holiday shame. Because you walk in there and you're like, oh, man, I'm behind on the times. If you care what other people think.
Right.
Or if you're like, you know, procrastinating family, you just walk on by.
Oh, that's nice.
Right.
I try to do it. It means we're going to screw it up this year because I've been doing work organizing in the upstairs of our house. And so with the boxes that have the different decorations seasonally,
yes.
this year, I've stacked them. In other words,
you know where they are?
Well, yeah, like Mardi Gras is the furthest back.
Yes.
Okay. And so as you're grabbing, but the problem is then I have to get stuff to the back of the stack, but I have it set like the first stuff that you will get to is Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Those boxes come out. Then the Thanksgiving boxes will be available.
Wait, before you go
and
further.
And then the Christmas.
What are you decorating for Halloween? Because I just think of pumpkin.
We got a pumpkin thing. Yeah, we
pumpkin
got like
a thing. Okay.
Inside pumpkin, outside pumpkin, then we do the real pumpkin. But you know, we'd have the two like little ceramic, I don't know. Then this like harvest cornucopia, you know. and that stays out for Thanksgiving. You know, you could combo that.
Yeah.
So we got I think we got like scary ghost and scary Dracula thing, something like that. So they're in a box.
Do
so
they
you
still
get
have
that.
Both their fangs?
No, because they've all been. Most of our things have been demolished and defaced by the smallest Sullivans.
So it's a toothless Dracula.
Yes, fangless. Yes, they had the defanging, and then you know worked them through like that. So I could get instead of going, oh, there's all these boxes that aren't see through. These storage boxes. Which one has Halloween? Which one has Christmas?
I like it. You're organized, FIFO style. First in, first out. That's how you do it.
The problem is though, I want to do first in, first out. But when the Halloween boxes come out,
mm-hmm.
that means I have to, it'll be good though, I will kind of have to pull out the Thanksgiving ones to put those back, or I'll have to climb over two sets of boxes to get back to Christmas next time.
When you label them, are you very descriptive?
No.
Oh.
I'm very generalized.
Oh.
Which could be things, mm-hmm. holiday mm-hmm. things.
Gotcha.
Because then you have the fun of a big reveal when you open
the box. This box.
And which one is this? And
I think the best investment has been those clear tubs where you can see through.
And we've got some of them, but we still got the old models.
Transition.
Yes.
I'm just saying because we have a storage unit, and I tell you, I had to find something for one of the kids because, you know, of course, they need some crazy, strange picture from when they were like 2.5.
Right.
And you don't have it readily on you.
Right.
And so I remember saying, where in the world is it in the storage unit?
So you could look in there without popping the top of the box.
When I tell you, I hit the lottery. I don't have to wait for it to be legal here. I hit the lottery when I opened up that door and I saw it. That's money. It was money.
Hey, speaking of the lottery thing,
yes.
Just to bring y'all up to date here, and I got a lot of people on Twitter when I put up the story and our discussion yesterday about the lottery and the reaction from Governor Ivey in that interview on Capital Journal with Don Daly. But the poll question that we've left up, and we're going to leave it up here through the weekend in the holiday because I think it's interesting to see if it does sway and change any. It's come down a little bit. It was as high as 95%. But the question is, with Mississippi moving towards a state lottery, is it time for Alabama to vote on having its own state lottery? This week it's been as high as 95% of y'all saying yes, down to 90% now.
Mm.
But it's rare, other than are puppies cute and do you like Christmas, whether we get something that's up in the 90s for yes. And it has been yes, yes, yes. So y'all can vote online, front page of FMTalk1065.com.
And of course, that poll question doesn't mean, do you think state lottery should
That's
be
right.
legal?
No, we're asking the politicians kind of question.
Mm-hmm.
It's because you have a little hedge here. That doesn't mean you're for the lottery, but are you for
the
state
people
having
voting?
A vote?
Yeah.
All right, let's see what you think. Yeah, keep on voting. Go to the phones at 343-0106, and David checking in next. Hey, David.
Hey, guys. Hey, Kelly. How y'all doing today?
Hi, David. Preston. Good morning.
I think that they should put concurrent constitutional amendments up, one for a lottery and one for casino and sports betting, and that would force the opponents of gambling to split where they're going to spend their money opposing.
Which one they dislike more, huh? Okay.
Yeah, just which one they dislike more. But real quickly, I'm so ready for some football. And as a South Alabama Ole Miss and a New Orleans Saints fan, the games I'm looking forward to are, of course, the South Alabama La Tech game, the Tommy Tuberville Bowl between the Ole Miss Rebels and the Texas Tech Red Raiders. And then, of course, you know, next week with the kickoff of NFL football, you know, any New Orleans Saints game. So that's what I'm looking forward to. But I had a suggestion on Twitter, and I wanted to see what you guys thought. Maybe have the weekly winner of the college pick'em tournament y'all got going on, make it available for them to guest co-host Sports Night with Dalton and Corey.
Yeah, we can do that. I mean, I'll already be on every week, so.
Would you use a different voice?
Yeah, I'll throw it to myself.
Right. All right, we'll see. We're right now, let us just get the grand prize. We're working on that right now. Which right now it looks like we've got a bowling trophy donated by Thomas that we're going to change the name on it to your name with Sharpie marker.
Yeah, right? It might not make sense that there's a bowling ball at the top, but that's what's so great about this trophy.
But we're a creative group. Okay,
wow.
Let's go to Tara in Mobile next. Hey, Tara.
Hey, good morning. Hey, I got the football fever too.
Good.
I can't help it, you know. But I wanted to bring up, please, y'all emphasize the bands.
Yes.
I mean, the bands are overlooked.
That's right.
You know, but they're as much of a support team, at least. And we're talking about a coordination. I've marched with bands that I did 10 years in marching bands, and the largest one was 275 people. You get 275 people with two different. I mean, we had to have two majors, drum majors, because the band was so large. But even whether it's that or whether it's a small high school,
that's right.
You know, I mean, we're talking some really small towns. I work with some of them too, in more rural Alabama places, shall we say. But the bands, they have to go out and practice. They have to. You talk about being there early for the game. You get up at about 6 o'clock in the morning. If you're lucky, you can grab a sandwich because you got to be on the field for the final rehearsal.
That's a great point.
That goes on for a while, and then you go home and you put on your uniform. That is your shirt. That is
your jersey. That's your jersey.
Yeah, one time I saw five members of the Troy Trojan marching band pass out on the first week of the game. They just they just all were laying out there in the road right next to the stadium. It was pretty amazing.
You bet.
You know, my freshman year at Alabama, I saw many people just pass out in the middle of the road. I mean, they weren't in
trouble. You know what? And that's a great point. Not only the band, the cheerleaders, the dance team. I mean, it truly is a team, a concerted effort. Well, thank you for pointing that out. I know my daughter played in the band, and I really got to understand the practice that they do. I mean, the time, the energy, the parents, the involvement, the boosters.
Yes.
Wow. Kudos to you, young lady.
And to you too. Y'all, thanks. Bye.
All right. Thank you.
That's why Tua Tagovailoa, the first thing he said after throwing that national championship game winning touchdown last year was he thanked the tuba player in the Alabama band.
If it wasn't for the assist from the
right.
Well, think about this. When you want that band to be fantastic, because when they play, that means you've scored. How about that?
Good point. Or it's halftime.
No. You know what? There's a timeout with your name on it in Sharpie,
good,
sir.
Good, because I need it. I need a timeout.
Oh, Christmas shopping right now? That's what you want to do?
Yeah, let's do that. Coming right back, more of Mobile Mornings. Maybe. Maybe we'll come back.
Bye, humbug.
AM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on a Friday here. Yeah, a lot of some band talk here. I got nothing to add to that. I'll listen, but I get zero knowledge there. I get text here from our boat making friends. They said Carly is a Dixie Darling at USM, and it all starts tonight. Doesn't stop till tomorrow night at 11 p.m.
Wow. Pep rallies and everything.
And why are they called drum majors? They don't. Okay, this is interesting. Why are, they don't play a drum? They just play with that little broomstick. Maybe they should be called stick majors.
Oh, no.
Did you guys see the movie Drumline?
Oh, yeah. I've seen it about 50 times.
Wow. It really takes you inside that world.
So why do we find out in that movie? I've not seen it, but I have no answer to this of why they're called drum majors.
I don't know. I just appreciate the great tunes.
Because Clover says, he says here, maybe they should be called stick majors. How about we call them Lee majors?
He's going to get in trouble making fun of bands. I've done that before, and you do not want to get on the wrong side of band people.
I'm just reading the text.
You better have a security detail, sir.
Oh, Lord.
Because there are more children in the band than there are who are playing on the field.
I just read a text, okay?
You didn't do air quotes.
My mom was in bands for basically her entire childhood and teenage years, and I think she was the first to attack me the last time I made fun of bands. So yeah. I'm staying out of this.
I'm reading a legitimate text question about why they're called drum majors and not stick majors.
I do need to find that out.
And I don't like when they play during halftime and people use that time to go to the bathroom and to go eat. These young people they've worked all week and all month and all year to get it right. So if you can. And show them some respect. I'm with our young lady who called in.
Here's my mom's answer. She says they're called drum majors because they lead the drums who lead the band.
Okay, so they're
Thanks,
the
Mama main. Orwig. All right.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. So Clover on the text line, there's the answer.
I do like stick majors better.
Well, I'm just trying to figure that out. All right, let's see here. Any more text I can actually read on the air without getting myself in trouble? Oh, here's our buddy Ben said we're talking about the traditions and superstitions for watching football games. So he's a big FSU fan. He said, I do not watch any football game until the first FSU game. Then I can watch them all. So it's like I guess it has to be, the first game has to be FSU, and then after that, and I'm sure Ben, like so many of us, we have this ridiculous thing we do, and we go, this will make my team win. If I do this thing, it has been... I mean, we've had conversations in our home. Thank goodness we weren't being recorded by the, what is it, the Google yeah. Mini, or we didn't Alexa. Have any Alexa. We had no Alexa back then, but those conversations of, okay, you go watch on that TV, then you go listen over here on the radio, because last time it was like that. And when you were in the kitchen, we were up by 2 touchdowns. You came back in here into the living room, and now it's a tie ball game. Go back in the kitchen and do what you were doing.
If you had to give a title to everyone you watch the game with, is there one that's the talker who has to talk through the entire game? The other one who is the coach who just wasn't picked to coach? You know what I mean?
Not in my house. There are no talkers because they won't be back if they're talking during the game. I can't handle it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, some companies take advantage, some smart marketing companies. You remember the Bud Light commercial where the guy went downstairs, so he had a bunch of friends in the living room, and they were watching, I think it was a Denver Broncos game or something like that, and he went down to the basement to get more Bud Light for everyone, and that's when the Broncos started scoring, so they just made him stay down in the basement.
Right.
I totally identify with that.
Yeah, that's kind of so. If we had a basement, that would go out of my house. Dave, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I love the fact that at the college level and the pro level, they really recognize the female fans this year. If you take a look at the marketing, they get it, that if you can appeal to the woman in your household, then a whole lot more will happen during football season.
Yep.
Just saying. Just putting it out there.
Because I'm not going to say
Don't
that.
Do it. Let your mind do the...
Right. I will not say the thing. So David says here on a text line, David Webb, thank you. He said the position of drum major, and now that he says this, I've thought about this. I know a lot more about, I guess, old battlefield techniques than I do about marching bands. But he said the position of drum major originated in the British Army with the Corps of Drums in 1650. Military groups performed mostly duty calls and battle signals during that period, and fife and drum corps, right? We've talked about that. People think about that in Revolutionary wartime, right? Mm-hmm. The fife and drum corps, directed by the drum major, would use short pieces to communicate to the field units. So it wasn't, you're watching an old movie about a battle and you hear the the rat-a-tat-tat, the drum roll going there. That's that's communicating something to, you know, this flank move or that flank move. David, thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah.
And somebody else do this or that, and so they were using it as battlefield communication, and now it's what has become the marching bands of today's, you know, battlefield on the football field.
So they're the QB of the team. They're calling plays.
Yeah, and they are they are the communication. So somebody's calling. The generals back then would be calling, and David can correct me on the text line if I'm wrong, but the generals, the field commanders would say, hey, I want, you know, this flank to move or artillery here, or this or that. And then the drum majors and the fife and drums would communicate that message through the drums and the flutes, the fife, so it would carry across the battlefield. So you heard your tune playing, you knew that was time for y'all to move up or pull back or something to that effect.
That's fascinating.
And so that's kind of where that started. Yes, and somebody pointed out. What, this one time at band camp?
No, or you're with the band.
I love this text from Shane. And I'm not going to say, well, we don't have his last name. I don't want to get him in trouble. But he said, my wife was in the Auburn band. She still walks loudly when she's walking around the house. That's pretty funny. You know, because the band.
Yes.
Heel toe.
Does she walk like that? Does she walk in, like, coming down the hallway? She is in perfect formation walking down the hallway.
We have a friend who was a cheerleader. He's a man. And I think it's very interesting because you don't think about those hardworking cheerleaders, but they're having to lift people up into the air, flip them, make sure they're safe, and, oh, by the way, be TV camera ready. That's a whole other side of...
Those are guys that I do not feel sorry for.
Why?
Because they are lifting, the cheerleaders into the air.
Yes, we got to... We just put him on a microphone. Well, his mic is on, so, I mean, we could...
visitor.
Yeah, we have... What?
I think Bill Roth said the Auburn band ladies are doing fire knives before the LSU game. Fire knives.
Richie Beasley's golf.
Fire knives. Okay, so who we met last weekend.
How come you can tell us all that on the microphone?
So, fire knives.
Fire knives.
I mean, like really, like literally knives on fire. Well, that should be a heck of a halftime show.
You're going to stay in your seat for that one.
That's Richie Beasley, who we did the live broadcast with last Saturday's daughter told me that. And she's one of the fire knife ladies.
Which is like...
I'm glad you said ladies.
I mean, if you're looking at a gang name for females, the fire knife ladies are pretty strong medicine there. So, fire knife ladies. There we go. See, now disintegrated into throwing flaming objects in the air.
Watch out now.
A future at a hibachi restaurant.
That's true.
Chooses.
Well said. She can do the flaming volcano and then pop the shrimp up into people's mouths while she's doing it. She's
I love something.
It. Would you call that pom-pom shrimp?
Nice.
You're
winner. Winner.
Yes.
Winner. All right. I got to get in the mobile command unit and head south. Midday Mobile live from Dolphin Island today. We'll talk to you at noon.